Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing, here's what I'm hearing about multifamily. And joining me by phone is Paul Bergeron, a fantastic and longtime journalist and reporter in the multifamily industry. He's a regular attendee at industry events. He frequently appears on webcasts, podcasts, and of course, radio shows. As a freelance writer, Paul contributes to the National Apartment Association, the National Multifamily Housing Council, Urban Land Institute, the International Council of Shopping Centers, Society of Human Resource Management, and the National Healthcare Association. And we all remember Paul from his many years as editor of NAA's Units magazine. So recently, Paul has been hired as a content strategist for BH Management, the eighth largest property management company in the U.S. And this is Paul's first role on the operations side of the industry. So he's actually getting a little bit of taste of what some people may call the dark side. But Paul, welcome to the show. Glad to have you back again.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, it's great to be back. The dark side. I don't like that term. These are my friends, right? We're all friends in the industry, and I think we all help each other out by sharing. And it's just great to be on the other side to sort of be in the operations side rather than the association or reporting side. I've really enjoyed it. It's been about 3 weeks now.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, Paul is a prolific writer, posting on LinkedIn, different things that he sees. You know, I constantly am seeing your posts from different conferences that you've attended, featuring some of the things that you're seeing. And that's really kind of what we want to talk about today, or some of the things that, you know, the topic is titled, here's what I'm hearing. This is basically what you're hearing when you go to these conferences and you're talking to folks in the industry. So let's talk a little bit about, you kind of gave me an idea of some of the topics that are currently the hot topics in the industry. And one of them is centralization. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing?
Yeah, centralization came up a couple of years ago, and I remember the first time someone asked me, I had no idea what they were talking about. But, you know, that's the way things go. Things get gradual momentum, and people start dipping their toes in it and going full-fledged in it. And now we have some supplier partners who are helping supporting it with CRMs, and more companies are realizing some of the benefits of it. I mean, it's not for everybody, but it is for companies that have larger portfolios and have communities located in sort of pockets of areas, and centralization can really be anything you want it to be. But the two examples that I wanted to talk about, one of them actually is related to BH. They have this program where you take some of these tasks off of your property manager or some of the supervisory roles so that they can focus on what they do best. And you find other people who are good at the other things. And what I mean by that is, like, take something like evictions or administrative duties in the property. You've got to get those processes right. And if you're trying to do them, go through an eviction process or other things, and you make a mistake, you kind of have to start over because maybe you're being interrupted on site. I mean, we all know things happen that you don't anticipate. You have residents coming to your office. You have staff members with issues. Well, what BH did is they took some of those tasks off and gave it to somebody in a centralized role responsible for six or seven communities. And here's the best part. It's a remote job. And I know the apartment industry doesn't lend itself to remote working as much as other industries. I work remotely as a reporter. It's great. Well, if you have on-site members who are inquiring about remote work, they can do a lot of the admin from outside of the community. So that's a big benefit. I'm hearing the next iteration is centralized maintenance. And I know one of your frequent guests, one of my friends, smart guy, Dom Beveridge, who writes for 20 for 20, just did a special article about maintenance itself. I think it's running in Units Magazine or already has run in Units Magazine, or you can reach out to Dom for it. And he's talking about the old way, and that was the whole one maintenance guy for every 100 units that you have, and everything, you know, like we've seen in apartment management is, well, let's do it this way. No, 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 this is the way we do it. Well, Dom's shedding light, and some of his people that he talked to are embracing these other ways to approach things when it comes to maintenance. I looked at the story briefly last night, and he's talking about kind of three buckets of things that people need to do on the maintenance team. There's business as usual, which, you know, you have to keep. You have proactive maintenance, which is things you know you have to do on a regular basis. And then you have turns when someone moves. And Dom's article talks about the fact that turns need to be separated from everything else. You need to have specialized maintenance people who just do turns. It just makes things more efficient. And specialization there in that way might be the next step of centralized leasing or centralized maintenance. For instance, maybe you just hire an HVAC guy, and that's all he does is HVAC or girl. And they go around and service HVAC systems. He talks about maintenance technicians reporting to a regional maintenance person, not to the property manager. I mean, the property manager, as we know, has so many things under their belt in their scope of work that they can't always figure everything out. It would be better to separate that out and report to a maintenance supervisor. You know, one other point that Dom made was you need to ask yourself as an operations team, you know, who should do the work? How much time do I have to get it done? And how much is it going to cost? And when you approach things that way, rather than showing up every morning in an office and say, well, here's the 11 different oddball things I need you to do, you can run things a little bit more smoothly. And I think your team will be happier. I think your investors will be happier.
Yeah, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Let me ask you this question. Are you hearing or do you get the feeling that a lot of this, for instance, with the maintenance, the centralizing maintenance, that is coming about as a result of the fact that there's such a high turnover and it's hard to find and keep good maintenance folks? For instance, I heard one of the figures that there was a nationwide over a 50% turnover rate in your maintenance role. Is that what's driving this?
That is certainly part of it. And my gosh, you're totally right, Paul. There's a maintenance guy that I know. I think he's based in Texas, named Mark Cookrow. You might know Mark.
Yes.
He's outstanding with this topic, and he talks about how important it is to retain maintenance people and having them do things that they're good at, that they want to do. And that kind of goes to the specialization of this. I mean, if you're showing up for work and you know everything about HVACs and you love HVACs and you do that all day, I mean, why not? You don't want to be bothered with things that maybe you aren't familiar with, aren't comfortable or confident with, administrative tasks, things like that. That doesn't make for a good day at work, if you ask me. So I would think that, yeah, if you can improve your turnover through a centralized maintenance operation, then you're winning on both ends.
Also, another question, when you talk to folks, do you get the feeling that how the multifamily industry adapted to remote working temporarily, at least because of the pandemic, that this created a greater deal of more rapid acceptance of this possibility of centralization?
I think remote work in its purest form, yeah. I mean, we all had to do it during the pandemic, and I think people got really comfortable with it. And it's mostly based on things related to the corporate office.
Mm-hmm.
So on site, I don't know that they really got the pleasure or the benefit of being able to do remote work, which is why I think that what BH is doing is so attractive, that you can actually put that down as a job, part of your job description.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages with more of this topic. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of the Multifamily Matters radio show. I have on the phone with me a longtime multifamily industry veteran and the author of several books, the fabulous Gary Gregory. Gary, you just released a new book called The Super Fantastic Me. I've got my copy, but tell our multifamily industry audience why this book is so important to multifamily.
Hey, thanks, Paul. The Super Fantastic Me is a guide to help people curate their best version. And why is that important? Well, all too often we go through our workday on autopilot. I was guilty of it as a community manager, checking boxes and simply doing things. Now, once I discovered there was more, that I could bring more, my outlook and career changed. My book offers a life-changing exercise to curate your word or calling card, principles, and core values. This allows you to bring greater value to the room no matter the circumstance. And having a multifamily team that knows and shows their who, why, and how will be unbeatable.
Thanks, Gary. I recommend that everyone in the multifamily tree get their copy and one for each member of their team of The Super Fantastic Me. Order it on Amazon today. Well, we're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of, here's what I'm hearing about multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime journalist and reporter in the multifamily industry, the insightful Paul Bergeron, a marketing strategist with BH Management. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Paul, in the first segment, we talked about centralization, and I know you wanted to discuss what you're hearing in the industry about marketing. Tell us a little bit of that. That is really kind of a ever-evolving type of topic as technology and platforms change out there and are available. People are constantly trying things and adapting. What are you hearing?
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, it's awesome what the industry keeps improving upon when it comes to marketing. And actually, when you stop and think about it, the centralized aspect of marketing is probably one of the prime topics, areas where centralization can work. in terms of handling leads and replying to potential residents and all that. What I found interesting was, so we talk about conferences we go to, and we're really just kind of getting started with the huge conference push in terms of, I mean, my gosh, you could go to a conference every week if you wanted to. I went to the Advocate Conference a week or so ago by National Apartment Association out in Washington, D.C., and sat in on some committee meetings, but I went to the Marketing Communications meeting, which was excellent. They were talking about really trendy things, and one of them that came up was this thing called GA4 or Google GA4, I guess you could call it Google Analytics 4 is what the GA stands for. And the kind of the look on the people in the room, like it's been kind of a grind and a difficult transition. What it is Google Analytics has changed some of the ways, and they'll tell you improved, and I would think they're probably right, the whole way of analyzing your Google Analytics and key performance indicators and things like that through marketing. This new tool, this new way of doing it, what a shock, brings artificial intelligence into the equation. It just helps if you can adjust the way you measure and analyze your Google Analytics. It fits more into things like YouTube and some of the other Google platforms. Again, what a shock that it would do that. But I mean, let's be honest, that's what people use. So I know that a lot of companies out there have been working on this transition and had some headaches and some snarls. Just thought I'd bring that up in case anyone in the audience is nodding their head right now. the AIM conference coming up is the big marketing conference, and I'm sure this topic is going to be discussed there. It's out in Huntington Beach the first week of May, in case anyone is thinking about going. It's probably my favorite conference to attend.
Why is it your favorite conference? I'm just curious. I'm sure our listeners are too, because I know you go to all of them.
Well, it's funny you should ask. I grew up in Orange County.
Okay.
It's where the conference is held, in Huntington Beach. And you know what? If you go out to get a cup of coffee, you're probably 100 yards from the ocean, the Pacific Ocean. So it's nice to be back out in Southern California. It's a very nice location. And let's be honest, the people there are in great moods because they're marketing people. They're usually very chipper, I guess is the word. I don't know. I love marketing people. so you're surrounded by smart people, and you're talking about the latest and greatest. So that's why I like it so much.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about what you're hearing about CoStar.
Oh, yeah, CoStar. So yesterday I got a press release from them. I put this up on my LinkedIn page, which I know you mentioned at the beginning of the show, by the way. So anyone out there want to get in touch with me or want to see what's on top of my mind, I put a lot of my content up on my LinkedIn channel. It's called Thought Leadership Today. I don't post every day. I kind of post when I think it's something interesting. Well, yesterday, Apartments.com released that they are launching a new, I guess you'd call it video ad campaign. We all know Brad Bellwether. He's the star of some of their TV commercials and some of their other video marketing. Not every company out there can afford the budget that Apartments.com has and what they spend. But what they've said is that they're now investing more money in streaming video ads that target apartment renters than they are on TV. We all remember about 3 or 4 years ago, they ran a Apartments.com ad on the Super Bowl, which was not cheap. So now, they have turned, based on their data, and it's hard to dispute, the people that they're trying to target are more on streaming shows, streaming channels than they are on regular TV. I'm not one of those people. I'm one of the older people that watches TV news, but the streaming services are kind of taking over that whole video content pool, and Apartments.com is jumping into it.
So where would we start to see their ads? What are some of the platforms you think we would start to see their stuff?
Great question. They didn't list that in the press release. Maybe I should follow up. I'm sure they'll let us know, but I'm guessing it's whatever the more popular shows are. I hate to say that I'm not an expert on streaming programs, but I've never seen one before. I've streamed a few athletic events, sporting events, but not fictional drama. So let's stay tuned on that.
Okay. All right.
Pardon the pun.
Tell me, you mentioned the AIM conference. Tell us a little bit about some of the things that you expect to hear discussed at the upcoming AIM conference in May.
Yeah, they probably have. They've actually added a day at the end for operations. So it's called the Apartment and Innovation Marketing Conference, which is great. But then they're capturing an even bigger audience with some operational sessions at the end. They have great panelists. I think we're going to talk a little bit about ChatGPT later in this program, mm-hmm. and that's one of their keynotes at that conference. I think that, you know, you'll get people who are up there talking about influencer marketing, maybe, and some SEO website ways to get your point across better. I would recommend checking out the aimconf.com website to see what the full agenda is.
Yeah. Not only from you, I've heard from a lot of people that it's a great conference to go to, and that people really get a lot out of it. So mm-hmm. so I'm looking forward to hearing more about it and possibly even going myself if I could make that work. I'll tell you what, let's jump to the next topic real quick. We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and that is the build-to-rent sector. And since we'll talk about it more in the next segment, but just kind of outline what that means, because I see a lot of that, and I'm not really sure I understand exactly what that means.
Okay. So we all know about single-family homes being rented. That's single-family rentals. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of developers are doing now and investors are doing now is they're creating entire communities of homes that are rented. So we're not talking about a multi-story, you know, 10, 15, 20-story apartment building. We're talking about a community of single-family homes that are all rented and all managed by the person or the company that has built them. So that's a new segment that appeals to certain people who maybe want something bigger than an apartment space. Maybe they want a yard. Maybe they have, you know, a dog or dogs. It's more of a family thing. You might have, you know, a family with children. So it's kind of an offshoot of the apartment industry. But at the same time, these are people who maybe don't want to buy a house, and maybe they can't afford to buy a house. Maybe they don't have the down payment and things like that. So these types of communities are starting to get a lot of traction, and their competition with apartments somewhat.
Yeah, and our I guess what we're seeing is in certain markets that's becoming something where people are really going into. I'd imagine a lot of in the Sun Belt or the areas of the country where you can get out and do things more year round. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, there are hotter markets for this sector right now. And you're right, the Sun Belt is all about the Sun Belt these days with just about everything in commercial real estate. But yeah, that's where people want to live. So why not start there? I mean, is there enough land in the Northeast to do this? Maybe. Is there enough land in the Midwest or upper Midwest to do this? Maybe. But do people want to live there? I'm not sure. I think they're going where they think people want to be, and that is the Sun Belt for now.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our next segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property. That's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of, here's what I'm hearing about multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining by phone is a longtime journalist and reporter in the multifamily industry, the fabulous Paul Bergeron, a marketing strategist with BH Management. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Paul, in the last segment, we started talking a little bit about the build-to-rent sector. And you kind of defined that as companies that are actually building single-family home communities with the intention of renting them out. And let's talk about some of the amenities that they would offer that someone might not get into a traditional apartment setting. What are you finding?
Yeah, it was interesting. I went to a BTR conference about 3 weeks ago out in Nashville. It was very well attended. It's really amazing, the attendance at these events, by the way. I mean, every time I go, they say they set the record or they overextended their goals and everything else. So it's great to see people getting out. This conference had a panel on build-to-rent communities. And unlike apartments where you might be like, oh, my gosh, here's the pool. Oh, my gosh, here's the fitness center. Oh, my gosh, here's the rooftop. They're finding with build-to-rent, the number one amenity is the home itself, which seems pretty simple, but it's very true. A lot of times people who want to move into these types of housings are attracted by having more space, more storage space, so to speak, more closets, garage, et cetera. And they were really playing that up. And it makes perfect sense because you usually leave an apartment because maybe it's too small. And if you build your build-to-rent housing with more closet space and more storage space, people are going to bring more things because we all know we love closets. But then also, if we fill them, we're more likely to stay longer.
Yes.
Which is interesting because we all hate to move. So it all adds up pretty perfectly. And you know, apartments could do this too. I mean, I know they're limited in space, but nobody's going to say, oh my gosh, there was too much storage space. No one's going to say that.
Yeah.
So you might as well leverage that for yourself. And that was one of the big points about some of these communities. You know, we were talking about single family rentals as well, which is kind of the companion to build to rent. And single family rentals really kind of started, I guess, during the Great Recession, which was, my gosh, almost 15 years ago, mm-hmm. when a lot of these houses went into foreclosure and a lot of investors went to buy them up. And that's kind of a scattered model of rental housing. And that works too. It's just a different animal. Those are a little bit more difficult to maintain because, my gosh, you're driving from one house to another, whereas in a community, you're at least enclosed with a street pattern or, you know, cul-de-sacs or something. So really, it's whatever you, the investor or manager, want, and it's whatever the potential resident wants.
Yeah, and just for our listeners' benefit, if you're not familiar with the scattered rental home industry, I can think off the top of my head of two, you know, huge players in that. One is Progress Residential, which I think has over 70,000 homes across the United States that are, you know, that they own and manage. And the other, excuse me, is First Key Homes, which has over 50,000 homes in their portfolio. So there are companies out there that specialize in that, but it's different from what you're talking about, build to rent, because obviously they're scattered in areas, they're not all concentrated in individual communities, which is mm-hmm. which is kind of a new thing. And I guess land availability is going to be as far as people developing these build to rent communities, that's going to be a challenge, just to find enough land in an area where people really want to live. It seems like they'll be going further to find that land. They'll have to go further and further out in order to from a central metropolitan area to be able to find land that's reasonably priced to be able to build these. What are people, were they talking at all about how to find places to build?
Yeah, I mean, with a single family home, you just need one plot, right? But if you have a community, you need it to have the infrastructure. You need to have a much larger parcel of land. And they did have a separate session about that at this conference I went to. And there was one person, his name escapes me, who was talking about how hard it can be to get land, because when land becomes available and it's listed, he's saying that, and he was a broker, so he wasn't a developer, but he was a broker. He says, you know, I didn't even list the land yet, and I already had umpteen bids for it over the price that I was asking. So, you know, if you're going to get into this game, you have to pay attention and find land that you can afford in areas that you want to be in. But it's not easy.
Yeah. And what about did was there any discussion? I'm just curious. Was there any discussion at the conference about the stigma of rental homes? I know that in homeowners associations of existing properties that they don't. Like the homeowner association doesn't like it when people who are owners individually rent their homes because they believe that it's going to reduce the property value. Is there any discussions about the stigma of rental homes in a neighborhood?
That's really interesting that you bring that up. Homeowners associations, yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of people that embrace those. Mm-hmm. I'm just speaking out of my own personal experience, but yeah, they didn't really talk about the stigma of it. I mean, you know, you just hope to find qualified renters to move in who are responsible. I mean, this falls on the landlord in that case, and you got to have rules and you got to stick to them is all I can say. But homeowners associations, yeah, that can be a pain. I mean, I live in one now. They're putting together architectural standards for our community, and it's quite the uproar because, you know, it's kind of a visual thing that some people will agree or not agree on. So it's just one more sticking point of regulation, right? Isn't that why we moved to apartments anyway? Right?
Sure.
Yeah. Get away from all that.
Yeah. One last question about built to rent. Are you finding in the industry that the people who are really starting to get involved in that are existing traditional apartment companies, or are they companies that are simply going to specialize in these communities?
Good question. I think there are companies out there who just do this, but I'm from the few people I've asked of the more traditional side of property management and apartment owners, they are starting to make it a piece of their portfolio. I know, you know, you look at companies like Graystar and all that, and yeah, I mean, these people are here to run a business and to make money. So if they can make the numbers work and see that this is one offshoot, you know, they'll jump into the party as well and start doing it. So I feel like, yes, you know, as this year goes on in conferences, we're going to be hearing more about this. I know Apartmentalize is coming up in June. Mm-hmm. So going to guess that by that time, we're going to be hearing even more companies, apartment owner developers that are jumping into this asset class.
All right. Well, we are going to leave it here because when we come back with our final segment of this episode, we're going to talk about ChatGPT and artificial intelligence, which is something that really has picked up a lot of traction. I want to really hear what you're finding out in your discussions with people in the industry. But we'll be back right after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of here's what I'm hearing about multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime journalist and reporter in the multifamily industry, the awesome Paul Bergeron, a marketing strategist with BH Management. I do want to let any of our multifamily supplier partners that are listening in the audience that we do have a couple of special and unique Multifamily Matters sponsorship opportunities available. I encourage you, if you're interested, to reach out to us through our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Paul, in the last segment, I mentioned that we were going to talk a lot about ChatGPT and artificial intelligence. And I can just tell you that when I look at a news feed that I use just to, you know, get all kinds of different articles, it seems to be dominated now by ChatGPT and things you can do with it, and not necessarily multifamily, but just in general, it is really dominating a lot of what we're talking about now. For the benefit of our listeners who may not be familiar with it, let's talk about what is ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. I asked the question, are you tired of hearing about it? Well, I hope not, because it's really just getting started. OpenAI is the home of this technology, and really, it's grabbing all the headlines. You're right, not just the commercial real estate and everything else. People are even starting getting a little bit worried about it. I mean, Elon Musk came out and said we need to take a pause. Is artificial intelligence becoming too dangerous? So, everything goes in cycles, and people are learning to adapt to it. I mean, in my estimation, no, people aren't going to take a pause, because that's not what entrepreneurs do. That's not what capitalists do. That's not what the business world does. They're going to keep wanting to get better at it and provide products and services around it that people want and can use. I mean, basically what it is that, in fact, I can't even really describe it that well, but you offer a prompt as to say, well, I want you to write a biography of Paul Bergeron. And the computers within seconds can spit out a certain length all the details about me, you know, where I was born, where I went to college, where I've worked, you know, anything at all that you want about likes and interests. I mean, and you could do that for any topic on really any subject of writing things. So when this first launched, I want to say around January is when it really kind of came to the public. You know, you talk to people in the apartment industry, well, how can we use it? How can we benefit from it? And the first thing everyone says, well, is it saves you a lot of time and effort, because if you're asking your on-site staff to write a description of your property, they might have to do some research. They might have to do a few drafts. They want to make sure they spell everything correctly. They want to make sure it's grammatically correct and all that. But you can have a ChatGPT function to create that for you. And then you can tweak it, because there might be some mistakes, there might be some over-exaggerations and things, but really not really. I mean, from what I've heard, people are using it and liking it and finding the value of it. But then I've talked to other people in the industry. I was talking to a job recruiter at the NMHC conference in January, and he said, well, yeah, we use it to write profiles of he's an executive recruiter, by the way. So he's writing profiles of executive positions for commercial real estate companies. So really, the use of it is seemingly endless and beneficial. We'll see where all this takes us. I mean, we're just getting started. Like I said, you know, come apartmentalize in June. That's a couple months from now. Who knows how much more is advanced from there.
You know, it's interesting. When I first heard about it a couple of months ago, I really started seeing about it. I checked it out and just as a test, you know. And by the way, my listeners know that I'm a dinosaur, you know, when it comes to technology. So you know, I don't know if I did it right, but I gave it some prompts to write a couple of different emails, and it was shocking, you know, yeah, there were some things that needed to be tweaked, but it was shocking how it did that. So, and I would imagine too that there's some concerns about, is it going to replace people's jobs out there? And that's some of the articles that I've seen are giving those warnings or predictions that you know, certain types of jobs can be replaced by this artificial intelligence. Are you getting any of that kind of feedback from people you speak with?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Well, they said that about AI a couple of years ago, and then people quickly said that, no, it's not replacing jobs. It's helping the people who have jobs do their jobs better, which is a great comeback, and there's probably a lot of truth in that, too. And when ChatGPT came out, I mean, I know my mother-in-law asked me, she's like, well, that's going to put you out of business. And I said, well, I hope not. I don't know. I mean, I haven't fiddled around with it much. I rely on the way I've always written, which is to talk to people and to look things up and to try to put together, you know, inverted pyramid style for those people who are in journalism. Most important information at the top and work your way down. And I guess ChatGPT could become something like that, and that's fine. But I don't think anyone really replaces experience, like the kind of experience that I have and the people that I know to ask questions or people who do not to ask questions to. But yeah, it's a little bit of a concern in that way. But for now, I'm sleeping well.
So you mentioned the AIM conference in May, and that they were going to be talking about ChatGPT there, that there was going to be a keynote speaker. What, do you have any details on that?
Yeah, it's probably on the website. I was just trying to look his name up really quick. A book came out, I don't know, like I said, back in January or so, that I thought looked interesting, and I sent it over to the people who run AIM, and I think they booked him to be one of their keynotes to talk about the applications of this technology in the industry. And the good part about this too is that if you know Mike Whaling from 30 Lines, he's a apartment marketing guy who's pretty sharp. I believe he's going to be sort of moderating the session. So he's going to cut to the chase. You're not going to get a sales pitch. You're going to get a tell us how you use this kind of presentation. So I'm really excited about that. You know, the lineup's pretty full. There's a session I'm looking now that says how to use AI and BI, business intelligence, to quickly create a budget. And for anybody out there who has to do budgets, I sympathize. And this could save you a lot of time and aggravation. They had some other things in there about streaming TV and apartment marketing. What a surprise. So that goes back to what we talked about with CoStar. There's a marketing hacks for a one-person staff session. So if anyone out there is a small team of people that have to do everything under the marketing, you could learn from that. There's going to be things on AI and search. There's going to be the 2022 Pet Awards, which, of course, we can't ignore pets. There you go.
Yeah. One of the things you just mentioned, the session about if you're a one-person staff, you know, I always have a question because our listeners are work in multifamily companies of all different sizes, from the largest to, you know, independent ownership. A lot of these topics, the centralization, those types of things, where do you see the sweet spot for that as far as size of companies that are really jumping in now? I mean, you mentioned BH with their centralized program that they've got. And, of course, they're one of the big companies in the industry. Is there a lot of interest and adaptation of these different types of things from small?
Yeah, I think it comes down to how you want to apply it. And what I've heard from some of the larger companies is you have to have a lot of properties in a given market. And maybe if you have a centralized team, they're responsible for managing, 5, 6, 7, 8 properties within a reasonable distance of each other. Because a lot of it, at least with the leasing side, and I guess for the maintenance side too, when you talk about having to commute to these different properties, on the leasing side, part of the benefit is that if someone is a prospect and they really want to live in my apartment community, but for some reason my price isn't right or I don't have the available unit that they're really wanting, and you, Paul, are part of my company, I might say, well, you should go check out Paul Marx's property because he's got this opening. So, you know, you're basically selling not just your own community, which I think, again, helps on the bottom line. So if someone's looking in, I live in Herndon, Virginia. So if someone's looking in Herndon, Virginia, and they don't see anything they like, well, if I've got a property in Sterling, Virginia, which is right next door, there you go.
All right. Well, I want to transition us to something else other than what we've been talking about. I want to let our listeners know a little bit about what you're working on. Obviously I'm very familiar with your background. I'm sure our listeners would love to know more about you, how they can reach out to you if they want to, and a little bit more about BH, where you've taken on this new role.
Yeah, it's been great. I am familiar with my supervisor. She worked at RealPage, and we had done some work together. And when this opening came up, I reached out to her, and turned out I was a good fit. Really the big picture here, and I'm, like I said, I've only been here 3 or 4 weeks now. I've started to write things mostly about the company, for internal purposes or for investor purposes. But if you really stop and think about it, I was talking to some people at the Advocate Conference, just randomly, Tracy Hall, I was talking to, and, you know, she's like, this is the kind of thing that property management companies need. They need somebody who knows how to write and to report and to create content for their own company. And I said, yeah, I've been kind of pushing that for a couple of years. So I don't know. This could turn into a trend. We'll see. I mean, we'll see, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because a lot of these things, this type of writing and research falls on on-site team members who might not specialize in writing content of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
They might be more on the side of customer service, or they might know a lot more about marketing, or they might know more about, you name it. So actually creating a full-time position for these companies for someone who's in charge of the content itself rather than outsourcing it, I guess, can really open up possibilities for your company to promote itself, to look better in the eyes of investors who are curious about you, to help your SEO. I mean, it seems like a position that was missing in property management, and I'm not just saying that because it's what I do, but, when I started looking for a full-time job, I thought this would have been perfect, and sure enough, here we go, right?
Right. So if someone wants to find out more about BH, that obviously If they go to the episode page on our website for this episode, the BH logo will be there, and they can click on it, take them to the BH website. But tell us a little bit about BH and also how they can find you if they need to reach out to you.
Finding me, it's easy. I'm on LinkedIn. I've got a lot of followers, and my network is pretty big, and I encourage people to reach out to me and send me a note. Like I said, a lot of the content that I write about the industry, not necessarily about BH, but just about things that I'm seeing out there. You know, here's what I'm hearing, as I said, or get posted there. Last week, I put a story up there that I thought was really cool about how much does the apartment community pay for a fitness center, right? Mm-hmm. So they said, the panelists said that they paid something like $25,000 for a fitness center in the Northeast, but they pay $75,000 for a fitness center in the Sun Belt, because people who live in the Sun Belt, her words, not mine, are a lot more in tune with, fitness centers. So, you know, you just read, like you said, Paul, you look around at sources, you read stories, you see interesting things, you want to share them. People can benefit from them. And I put those up on my LinkedIn page.
All right, perfect. Real quick, we have 30 seconds left. What are some of the upcoming conferences that you encourage people in multifamily to try and attend?
Well, we have the AIM one the first week in May. And Huntington Beach, we talked about that. Apartmentalize this year is going to be in Atlanta. That's, I think, around the 6th or 7th of June. Looking forward to that. And then things slow down a little bit in the summer, and then we get revved up again with National Multifamily Housing Council doing their OPTEC in the fall. I'll definitely be there because I attend all of their meetings. But really, just Google Apartment Industry Conference, and you'd be surprised what comes up. There's a lot of niche conferences that might only have 500 people that specialize in a certain thing, like build-to-rent, or like small portfolio sizes, or operations, or whatever it happens to be. And you can find them all over the country pretty much year-round.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you so much. Always great to have you on the show. You bring a wealth of knowledge of what's going on in the industry. Keep our listeners up to date. But we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters.
Love the discussion.
All right, anytime. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.